This is Jay Sekulow, Israel and Iran at war.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The drumbeat of war is back in the Middle East. Israel's prime minister sending a stark signal and warning to Iran. Several developments over the weekend. Here they are. Iranian drone entered Israel, was shot down by an Israeli attack helicopter. Anti-aircraft fire from Syria downing an Israeli F-16. That hasn't happened since 1982. Israel has carried out dozens of raids inside of Syria.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I've been warning for some time about the dangers of Iran's military entrenchment in Syria. Iran seeks to use Syrian territory to attack Israel for its professed goal of destroying Israel. Israel holds Iran and its Syrian host responsible for today's aggression. We will continue to do whatever is necessary to protect our sovereignty and our security.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. And there were a lot of developments over the weekend. As most of you know, we've got an office in Jerusalem, Israel, have had it for well over a decade. We've been heavily engaged in Middle East issues, whether it's on a diplomatic front. I've represented Israel's interests before the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the Office of the Prosecutor at the ICC. We've been saying for a long time that there was a proxy war going on between Iran and Israel, and the proxy was Syria. Well, that proxy kind of almost has been sidestepped, and now you have a situation that has developed over the weekend with an Iranian drone launched from Syria, infiltrated Israeli airspace. An Israeli Apache helicopter intercepted the drone before it could cause any damage. Now, in response to this, Israel targeted 12 sites, 8 Syrian, 4 Iranian. That's right, Iranian sites inside of in the area of Damascus, Syria, several which were part of Iran's military establishment in Syria. Of note, the Israeli ministry said this drone was based on an American stealth drone, a Lockheed Martin RQ-170 Sentinel, intercepted by Iran 6 years ago in 2011.
That was the Obama administration, which, again, that drone was intercepted. And instead of demanding that the drone be returned, the Obama administration, with their usual foreign policy lapse, Iran was able to keep the drone, reverse engineered it. And as you see, they did a decent job of reverse engineering that drone. It was moving very quickly into Israeli territory, causing this response from Israel. And then you've got a downed Israeli fighter jet.
First time since 1982 that an Israeli jet had been taken down while engaged in conflict. And that was the pilots did escape. Both the pilot and the navigator were able to escape or eject before it crashed in northern Israel. And they are both reported as safe. But this is the first time that the Israelis lost an advanced jet fighter since 1982 and the war with Lebanon. So you could see what's happening. It's not so much a proxy right now. This is direct conflict. We're going to be joined in the next segment of our broadcast by our senior military analyst and also our director of our Law of War project at the ACLJ. Remember, we handle a lot of these legal engagement issues that come up when you've got armed conflict. And as I said, we've been to the International Criminal Court in The Hague's Office of the Prosecutor, where they had what's called an NGO roundtable, where you presented various arguments. The Palestinian Authority had lodged a complaint. We represented Israel's interests. There were four lawyers on our side, four on their side, and you presented these arguments back and forth. Ultimately, the Office of the Prosecutor dismissed it on jurisdictional grounds. I will tell you this. We are just filing today through our European Center for Law and Justice another brief on this issue of jurisdiction of Israel at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, that document actually being filed today. So a lot going on that front. And again, we don't just talk about it on this broadcast. Our offices are engaged in it as well. All right, we'll take calls and comments on the situation with Israel and Iran. We'll also take comments via Facebook and Periscope and social media.
That's right. Logan, you can give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in online. We're broadcasting on social media, Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow at Jay Sekulow. And you also find us on ACLJ.org. But again, phone lines 1-800-684-3110.
There was also an interesting article in the New York Times about Hamas basically being devastated as Gaza is in a disastrous situation right now. We'll talk about that. We come back from the break, but we'll also take your calls. How important is it to you that the United States stands with Israel? I'll read you the statement during the break. Again, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast. Everyone, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So if you're just joining us, there was conflict over the weekend, and it was between really Iran and Israel. And Iran was using Syria as its launching base, and the Israelis took down a drone that was an Iranian drone based on American technology. It was American technology because it was captured about 6 years ago by the Iranian regime. And we used to talk about a proxy war, and that, not that that doesn't exist anymore, but the Iranians clearly have upped it. In the northern border of Israel with direct engagement. These are Iranian military installations. The United States has issued a statement. The United States is deeply concerned about today's escalation of violence over Israel's border and strongly supports Israel's sovereign right to defend itself. Then it relates, as it relates to Iran, this is what the United States has officially said. Iran's calculated escalation of threat and its ambition to project its power and dominance places all people of the region from Yemen to Lebanon at risk. I'm going to go to Skip Ash, Colonel Ash. It runs our Law of War project because our war engaged armed conflict. We talked about, Skip, the idea that you have a proxy war going on, which you have had with Iran using Syria as a proxy. This appears to be direct engagement, and that's different and also impacts the law of war.
That's exactly
the
right.
The law of armed conflict, yep.
What's happened in the past is they've used Hezbollah, they used Syrian forces as their proxies to attack Israel. Now they have forces on the ground in Syria, and they're making decisions, and they are directly engaging Israel by sending this drone over Israeli sovereign territory. The Israelis had the right, the absolute right under international law to defend themselves, to defend their territory from attacks. This was an attempt to attack Israel, even if just to get information. We don't know whether this was an armed drone or just a drone seeking information, but be that as it may, they have the right to protect their sovereign airspace, and they've taken it. And there's a warning to Syria. If you allow your territory to be used by a foreign nation to attack Israel, then not only will Israel attack the Iranians, but they'll also attack the supporting Syrian forces, and that's what's happened this weekend.
Wes, how do you view this? I mean, I look at this as an escalation. I'm going to go to the Jordan in this in a minute because there's legal issues here and political issues. But this is clear that Iran has put its, you know, we've been engaged in this region for well over almost two decades, but I mean, significantly over the last 10 or 15 years. And we've got an office in the heart of Jerusalem. We're going to be joined by our legal director from our Jerusalem office in the next segment of the broadcast. But how do you view this now direct engagement by Iran?
Yeah, it's unprecedented. It really is. As you said earlier, you know, normally it's Iranian proxies that are right. That are on the border, you know, bothering Israel. This is the first time that it's a direct engagement. And to show you just how serious this is and how serious Israel is taking this, Over the weekend, after all these incidents happened, they moved multiple Iron Dome batteries, their anti-missile defense systems, to the northern part of Israel. And at the same time, Israel said when those eight F-16s went into Syria over the weekend that they destroyed one half of the air defense missile sites in southern Syria, which says to me that Israel is thinking there may be more to come and they want to keep their planes safe.
The Prime Minister of Israel spoke out on this. Let me go to Benjamin Netanyahu's statement just yesterday.
Yesterday, we landed hard blows on the forces of Iran and Syria. We made unequivocally clear to everyone that our modus operandi has not changed one jot. We will continue to hit back for every attempt to harm us, for any blow inflicted on us. This has been our policy, and this will remain our policy.
What's interesting to me in all of this now is Iran is becoming front and center in both the statements. Yep. This is not proxy. This is actual. We've been talking about this for a decade. We've got actually a documentary we're doing on this right now that's in process being edited, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty much done.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll get out really soon because that's an important documentary that we put together with experts from around the world on it. But anyways, the fact that Iran now is being called out directly.
Yes, and Iran in two different statements that conflict with each other, one from their Iranian military spokesman on the Iran State TV, said that the reports of downing Iranian drone flying over Israel and Iran's involvement in attacking Israeli jet are ridiculous. Iran only provides military advice to Syria based on the request of the country's legitimate government. They mean the Assad regime. But the Brigadier General, Hassan Salami, his statement from Iran was, "We cannot confirm this report on the drone because Israelis are liars. If Syrians confirm it, Iran will confirm it as well." So he is not denying.
No, they are not.
That this is the Iranian drone. So that spokesperson got out ahead of the actual military leader in Iran. And the truth is, I think what they're trying to weigh is, do they want to highlight this as a part of Iranian aggression, or, oops, did we go too far, and is Tehran under threat now from a possible is this what gives Israel the ability and under international law the right to go right at Iranian military sites inside, not just Syria, but Iran?
Yeah, so here's—
because that's where this drone would have originated from.
So let
Iran.
Me tell you what we are filing. It's going to be filed today. So we have filed with the International Criminal Court in The Hague through our European Center for Law and Justice, which is an NGO recognized by the United Nations. We have filed it's called the Issue of the ICC Jurisdiction, Factual and Legal Analysis to Assist the Prosecutor in Determining Whether the International Criminal Court May Lawfully Assert Its Jurisdiction Over Nationals of the State of Israel, a non-consenting, non-party state to the Rome Statute. The Rome Statute is the ICC statute. That's what created the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now, Skip, we've won that issue once already at the Office of the Prosecutor, but we're doing this preemptively, especially as this Iranian conflict escalates. But I think it's important for you to state again for our audience, from an international law perspective, Israel was clearly within its rights to engage the enemy the way they did, including the Iranian troops that were there working on this or seeking to harm Israel.
A drone, which is a military instrument, across your border, across the border into another sovereign state is a hostile act. And Israel, as a sovereign state, has the absolute right and obligation to its own citizens to defend the citizens from such hostile acts. So when they go after not only bring down the drone, but to go after those who fired the drone, so to speak, who allowed it to take off and gave it its mission, that is absolutely something that is allowed under the law of armed conflict. And that governs what Israel does. And Israel is scrupulously observes the law of armed conflict, despite the fact that its opponents do not.
I'm going to say Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran do not play by the rules of the law of armed conflict or the Geneva Conventions. They just don't. That's just fact. Israel does. We've asserted that in court proceedings successfully, and we are going to assert it again. But let me go to Colonel Smith here. You just have studied this. You just completed an additional degree, a law degree, a master's of law. And I wanted to get your sense because academically, there's no question that Israel was within its right. But let's talk military strategy here. We haven't even touched the Hamas side of this yet. Mm-hmm. What's going on in the Gaza? We'll get to that in the next segment. But you usually have this, what I call, dual front war. You've got the border with Gaza and then the north, Golan. And right. Usually those are in conflicts at the same time.
Right.
Clearly, you've got a conflict brewing in the north with Syria and Iran. Hamas, on the other hand, is in complete disarray in Gaza. And Gaza is a humanitarian disaster right now. It is a disaster across the board. They cannot govern. They cannot feed their people. There's no support for that within the Arab world. But there is a united Arab world on the Iranian threat. So how does that play into this?
Yeah, it's interesting because Hamas has done a horrible job of administering, you know, the Gaza Strip. And the Arab world, they are weary of the mismanagement and the corruption down there. On the other hand, Jay, in the past, at least three other times, when Hamas gets in trouble, in order to gain support and sympathy from the wider Arab world, they attack Israel from the south.
Yeah.
So that is something I think Israel has to be concerned about. But on the northern side,
I don't think they will get any support for that, though, of significant support within the Arab world, geopolitically.
Right now, I don't know that they have the resources to even carry out that attack. And if the people may revolt against Hamas, that's probably what their leaders are weighing, is that in the past, if things were getting not so good, you'd have a war with Israel, and then Israel would come in with aid, actually, and probably rebuild the areas it struck down, probably send in some food, take care of people that need medical help. In this situation, if things are as bad as the New York Times is reporting, that Gaza is on the edge of
and
exploding.
Our reports have indicated that, too,
from
our people on the ground.
What we may see, in fact, is the fall of the Hamas government, which would be a good thing. But again, it puts
Hamas is the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a terrorist organization.
Puts the region in turmoil. And a lot of this is because Israel's closed up the underground supply lines. Egypt is no longer working with Hamas and allowing them to smuggle across the border there. So when you have the two and the rest of the Arab world really, again, having no patience for a group like this. And I think this goes to also what's happened to the Syria conflict. Syria and Iran would not have had time to do this with Israel if ISIS had not been almost completely defeated.
That's true.
Within Syria and Iraq. And they have been. So now they've got all these weapons there. They've got all these fighters there. They're moving on to their next battle because they kind of have gotten through, for the most part, a lot of the ISIS battle. So they're saying, okay, what's next? Well, let's see what Israel will do in response to some of our provocations. Now, what we saw was a drone went in and Israel came in with multiple fighter jets right near Damascus and took out military sites, killing Syrian military officials. So Israel's response was, again, very strong, and it will now, it's kind of Iran's move once again, and Syria's move. Do they really want to pick this fight and then give Israel a basis for attacking Iran before they've got a nuclear weapon?
Yep, there you go. All right, Logan, we're going to take calls and comments. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by our legal director for our office in Jerusalem, David Benjamin, when we come back, also in the Israeli Defense Force. So we've got a lot more to cover in the segment of the broadcast.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, especially on Facebook, we've actually pinned the petition to defend Israel on the Facebook feed, so you'll see it's the first comment. See a pinned comment. Just click the link and sign right there. But again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. It's 1-800-684-3110 or on ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, conflict over the weekend, and this was pretty direct. It's called Iran and Israel. We used to call it a proxy war. It's not so much proxy anymore. They got Iranians have stationed their Revolutionary Guard and trained troops. They are utilizing their technology, and they launched an attack on Israel's sovereignty. Joining us on the phone is our legal director, Lieutenant Colonel David Benjamin. He is a lieutenant colonel in the Israeli Defense Forces, but also a lawyer in practice with us in our office in Jerusalem. David, we've been talking about the legality of this, but let's talk about what your sense is on what's going on in the northern border of Israel, now directly with Iran.
Well, at the moment it's quiet, Jay, but I think there's a great deal of uncertainty in the air. What has happened is a very, very significant escalation. And once an escalation has taken place, you can't put it back in the bottle. There's now a new precedent for a new level of hostilities, which you know, may lead to something worse. Obviously, we hope that it won't. We hope it won't be necessary. But there's a situation now where Iran has climbed onto a very high perch. And I don't know. They're going to have to find a way down, hopefully. But if they persist in their build-up in Syria and in Lebanon, Israel, as it's very clearly said, has placed very clear red lines, and is going to be acting, as it has already shown that Israel will act against this presence.
David, we've been talking about for years, and you've worked with us for years now, that we've been talking about this kind of proxy war between Israel and Iran, but it's reached a different level, because what's happened right now on the northern border over the weekend was not so much proxy, it was Iranian troops with Iranian munitions that were engaging in this, and as you said, that reaches a new level. So here's the question. Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel is going to respond, as they have already this weekend. But Iran has put themselves in a very difficult spot because they have engaged this directly. What does that mean, and how do you address that from a law of armed conflict standpoint?
Well, as I say, it's going to be difficult for Iran to step down. Sending a drone over the border, and of course it's clearly an Iranian drone, is very significant. Now, of course, I think that what Iran is trying to do is use a tactic which we call plausible deniability. In other words, saying, what are you talking about? It was a drone. It was looking at the civil war in Syria. That's where we are. This has nothing to do with Israel. But, of course, that's a big cover story. And you have to remember that Israel, and not only Israel, I'm sure other intelligence services too, they know what Iran is up to. Okay, the public statements are one thing, but a lot of everyone seems to know what Iran is actually trying to do. They're using the Syrian civil war as a cover, as an excuse to actually build up an array, a military array against Israel, using mainly proxy forces, whether it be Hezbollah or various Shiite militias. But also, as you pointed out, they're actually there on the ground themselves.
Yeah, and so that is what I think complicates it, too, for the United States, who, you know, we've gone through the statement. At the end of the day, we know where the U.S. is going to side if this conflict were to. And we've seen President Trump take direct action against the Assad regime before after those atrocities, those chemical weapons attacks. But now that the fight against ISIS it's not completely over. I don't want to overstate that. But as ISIS no longer threatens Damascus the way it used to, I think, as David said, under that whole chaos, Iran used that to keep moving weapons in. In a sense, their idea there was publicly was to keep the Assad regime in power, and that they did help with that, so that, you know, that the Assad regime is still in power. But they're not pulling back. It's not like they're saying, okay, yep, we kept the Assad regime in power, here we go, we're moving along. And let's not forget, this also involves Russia directly. This act really concerned the Russians because they are heavily involved, and they're meeting with the Iranians and the Syrians about this. I think they had an emergency meeting between those three governments, their representatives. So when you have Russia, Iran, Syria on one side, Israel, and then potentially the U.S. on the other, and we're not dealing with a nuclear Iran yet,
right?
This all puts a decision point. Is this when, you know, is it another act by Iran and you say, okay, enough is enough? We're not just going to target Syrian sites. We're going to go further than that to show to send Iran a message about who they're messing with.
Yeah, so let's do this. We've got phone calls coming in. We've got David Benjamin on here, so let's take some calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take the first call.
Let's go to Dennis on line one. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
My concern is very simple. We have a bunch of commitments and a vastly reduced military due to Obama's cuts. What can we do to help Israel in any way? What is available?
Well, my sense of it, I'll defer to my colleagues here who have military experience, I don't, is that this is not a situation where you need a direct military engagement of the United States. Israel's very capable of defending itself. Plus, you've got, and I'll start with Skip, you've got allies in the region that they didn't have even 5 years ago on this particular threat. Skip?
Oh, I agree with that. We have a situation that is completely different than what we've had in the past. For instance, the Sunni nations, the Sunni kingdoms, are just as afraid, if not more afraid, of a Shiite influence in Syria and Lebanon than the Israelis are. So it makes strange bedfellows, so to speak, that the Saudis and the Jordanians and others, although they may not articulate it the way we would like them to, are nonetheless cooperating with Israel because they realize the real enemy is not Israel. The real enemy now is Iran and its influence in Lebanon and Syria. So we have a difference there. We also have the Israelis have not asked for any military support in the sense of armed forces, boots on the ground. What they would desire if they need it is equipment and ammunition and things like that. And I think that we are prepared to do that.
Let me go to David Benjamin, who, again, is our counsel general for our legal work in our office in Jerusalem. The question was, David, about U.S. engagement. The United States obviously already signaling its support for Israel and its right to defend itself. But we're not talking about U.S. engagement. Militarily, Israel can defend itself, especially with its new allies.
Well, Israel has had a long-standing policy of never asking for actual military assistance from the United States or from anybody else. In actual boots-on-the-ground assistance. I'm sure that policy will continue. What I think the United States can do and is doing to an extent, you have to remember that where the mothership is in this whole galaxy. It's Iran, okay? It's the country of Iran. And Iran is able to conduct these operations in Syria and Lebanon, etc., okay, because it's in a position to do so. It's not feeling the pressure of sanctions. It's not feeling internal pressure. It's not feeling enough international pressure to desist from doing this. Now, one might be asking, what exactly is Iran doing there? Why would that be in Iran's interests to be on the border with Israel? And the only idea I can come up with is that actually Iran has an agenda down the line of perhaps building up its nuclear capacity, but at the same time building up a deterrent against any attack which would try and thwart their nuclear buildup. And the best deterrent they have is to have on Israel's borders a very sizable military force so they can threaten Israel with a major blow against its civilian centers if Israel or any other power actually decides to attack Iran to deal with a nuclear problem. That to me is my understanding, because it's actually difficult to get to the root of what exactly are they doing there. What do they want to achieve? And why? Obviously, you know, they can't achieve any kind of major military victory over Israel just by deploying in Syria. They'll never be able to bring the amount of hardware or manpower, etc., over there to actually do anything significant. So what exactly are they trying to achieve? They're trying to create a sort of deterrent, like on our borders, which will, against a future build-up, you know, a strategic build-up, which makes sense, you know, internationally in terms of their grand strategy.
And I think, too, that these F-16 pilots in Israel, they said the reason why they had to take the action they did was because the amount of anti-aircraft fire. So it goes exactly what David's saying. That it locked on. Now, they couldn't take down all those jets, but they did take down one of them. And again, that's the pathway to one of the pathways to taking out Iranian nuclear facilities. We know Russia's also sold those kind of systems to Iran.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes quickly.
Yep, and if you don't join us, if you don't have us at your local station, find us online, ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. And if you're just joining us, on Saturday, February 10th, an Iranian drone launch from Syria infiltrated Israeli airspace. An Israeli Apache helicopter intercepted the drone before it could cause any damage. In response to this attack, Israel targeted 12 sites, 8 of which were Syrian. This is the key part. 4 of which were Iranian near Damascus in Syria, several of which are part of Iran's military establishment in Syria, with airstrikes killing at least 6 Syrian military or allied militia members. Of note, though, Israel military said the drone was based on an American stealth drone, a Lockheed Martin RQ-170 Sentinel, intercepted by Iran 6 years ago. This also has, we talk about this proxy war between Iran and Israel, and it's not so much proxy right now. It's direct conflict, and that's what's happened here. And I think Jordan, and I'll go to West too, but let me go to Jordan first. There's a political change to this as well, where Iran basically, they may try to obfuscate their true motives, but it's no doubt this was Iran, as you said, you had conflicting statements coming out of their generals and coming out of their foreign ministry office.
Yeah, their military spokesperson was different than the general. The general wants Syrian confirmation, which I don't know if I'll ever get on whose drone this was, but I think it was very clear. If it was the copy of the U.S. drone that was shot down in Iran in 2011 and never given back, and that Iran said it re-engineered, in fact, paraded a re-engineered drone, that if this was that, it'd be very easy for the Israelis to say that. The way the drone was moving, the way it entered Israeli airspace, not difficult to figure out. And I don't think that the Israelis would escalate this with Iran if they didn't know that information. I mean, I really don't think that Israel would go there unless they were certain that this was Iran. And by the way, Syria doesn't have this kind of technology. Even Hezbollah, backed by Iran, doesn't have this kind of technology. So we know Iran has acknowledged that their military advisors are on the ground. If their advisors are on the ground, and they will tell us that much publicly, you can extract from that that there's much more going on than just some advisors on the ground. They don't just hand over advisors.
Wes?
Yeah, what we're witnessing here is really strategic chess on the part of Iran. We mustn't forget what their stated express goal is, and that is the destruction of Israel and the elimination of the Jewish state. They say that continually. They know that at some point they want to achieve that goal. So there is this strategic geopolitical jockeying. Iran is willing to take some tactical hits in order to achieve their strategic goal, and that is the elimination of the Jewish state. So the question for Israel becomes, depending on how this plays out over the next week or so, is do they wait for that tactical attack to come, or do they go in and try to stop it before it starts? Because Iran, this is not incidental. They know what they're doing. It is strategic chess.
You know, one thing that's very interesting in all this, though, is, Skip, and that is the Iranian people themselves were taken to the streets just a month and a half ago, saying no more support of Hezbollah, no more support of Hamas. We've got needs in our own country. So I think the Ayatollahs have lost the populace here.
I think you're right. I think the people have suffered for a long time under a lot of these Ayatollahs and those who are incompetent, who were doing things that did not support the general population. And I think the population, especially the younger population, is beginning to recognize that. And they're beginning to say, why are we suffering under this stuff? We have a right. This is our country, too. And I think they're rising up and sending a message to the Ayatollahs. Now, whether they'll receive it is another story, but they're getting the message.
All right, let's do this. We're going to be taking a break. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, we're also taking comments via Facebook and Periscope and social media as well.
That's right. A lot of people are putting in their comments. Henny asked, has actual war been declared?
So we'll take that. That's a good, very good question. Do they actually have to declare a war for the law of armed conflict to apply? And the answer to that is no. But we'll get into details. A great question. We'll get into details on that. But this is effectively an ongoing military struggle, make no mistake about it. And I think it's fair to say it's not just a proxy conflict anymore. We're going to take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break. You can also get those comments into Logan on Facebook and Periscope. And we'll take your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So we encourage you to call in as we get ready to go to a break. We've got an email that's out today about some of our cases, specifically at the Supreme Court, dealing with the life issue, the right to life issue, the pro-life issue. Those are available at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, the number you call is 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be part of the broadcast today, that's 1-800-684-3110. Providing a lot of information today about a story, again, out of the Middle East involving Israel. There's Israeli after an Iranian drone based off the U.S. drone that was shot down by Iran in 2011, kept by Iran. The Obama administration, they asked for it back, and Iran said no. And then they re-engineered it, reverse-engineered it. And now it appears that they have utilized it, and they went into Israeli airspace. Israel, again, took down that drone and then decided that it had to react by taking out some of the Iranian bases within Syria that had been set up. Their anti-aircraft, specific to their anti-aircraft divisions, bordering on Israel. Israel, by the way, which has said, keep us out of your conflict that's ongoing internally, and we're not going to engage it at all. So this is, again, Iran and Syria starting this new conflict. It's not Israel deciding, okay, let's hit Iran and Syria right now. It's don't mess with us. We're not going to mess with you. We've seen some mortar fire and things like that cross over into Israel's border, and Israel say, you know, knock this off, be more precise to the Syrian regime without major response. But this time, a major response. It included, by the way, because of anti-aircraft set up by Iran, utilized by Syria, you've got one of the F-16s used by Israel was shot down. The pilot and co-pilot are okay. They were able to get the plane back into Israeli airspace. The other jets that went in for this mission were facing also heavy anti-aircraft military fire. They were doing this again in response to an Iranian drone that went into Israel's sovereign territory. As the U.S. State Department has said, this is the exact quote, "The United States is deeply concerned about today's escalation of violence over Israel's border and strongly supports Israel's sovereign right to defend itself." So we can continue to talk about this. We've got Skip Ash. We've got Wes Smith as well joining us. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. We do have Reza out in California with a bit of a different opinion. We take those two on the air. Reza, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
All right, so here's, I'd like to start off by saying my father was being trained as a fighter pilot in the United States Air Force at Texas Air Force Base in the 1950s. He was being trained as a fighter pilot for the Shah of Iran.
Right.
And
when the U.S. was allied with Iran.
Correct. But here's my dilemma, that Iran has never attacked a country in the last 250 years. During the Iran-Iraq war, over 50 countries were bombing Iran. And after that incident, Iran learned a good lesson that, hey, if we don't start to protect ourselves and learn how to protect ourselves, we're just going to get run over.
Well, I get your point, Reza. I'll let you continue to talk. But I think what you forget is that the world is in agreement that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror, so that they use proxies to carry out extremely violent attacks on both military and innocent civilians all over the world. And we know there is no denial the link between, and Iranians don't deny the link, between Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Hezbollah, which has an arsenal, has gone to war with Israel. It's pledged allegiance to the supreme leader of Iran. So I think, Reza, your statement that Iran, since the Iran-Iraq war, has not tried to go to war with anyone, what they have tried to do what they have done successfully to some extent is use proxies that they pay for, train, fund through the Revolutionary Guard, and that's actually become easier for them without the sanctions that are on them. So, I mean, Reza, what's your response to that? Do you deny the link between Iran and Hezbollah? And of course, in this situation, we're talking about a drone that was that we know was shot down over Iranian airspace. It was a U.S. drone that they bragged about reengineering, and then they used to fly over Israeli airspace. But let me go to the first question for you, Reza, which is, do you deny that Iran sponsors terror and thus is conducting attacks? I mean, you're guilty then of conducting attacks all over the world.
Well, I'm not going to agree with that because, I mean, you're making so many statements.
How
and
can you not agree that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror? I mean, your family served at a different time in Iran, and your family, people like you, were run out of Iran by this radical regime that is in place now. It is, without question, they don't hide their support for funding Hezbollah, Reza. So I just don't understand why you think Iran is so peaceful when the world agrees it's the most aggressive sponsor of terror in the world. So I'm really not going to let you keep talking on the broadcast. I think, again, you're living in a world you wish Iran was like, but it's an Iran. Remember, you're not living in it anymore, nor is your father, who was trained to be a fighter pilot in the U.S. for the Shah's government because they didn't want you there anymore. That radical regime threw your family out. And so I think that don't have hesitations. They are the same Iran that did that to your family.
Yeah, I think the fact is that most people realize on the street that, I mean, you saw this, you know, you had a real political movement developing in Iran over the last 6 months. It did not reach near the levels that it did in 2009 when you had the, you know, over a million people in Tehran in the square. But it did, you had all these protests throughout the country. It's not the people of Iran. In fact, the people of Iran are saying the exact opposite. They don't want to support Hezbollah. They don't want to support Hamas. They want to get their government fixed. They want to get their living conditions better. But to the I think it's rose-colored glasses to think that this is that there are democratic reforms going in place and are taking place in Iran right now. That's just not fact. So again, it's not aimed at the people; it's the leadership, and that's what I think we have to focus on. And that's why I think Wes, what happened here is a direct engagement with Israel in the north. That's what this was. This wasn't through a proxy. This was the Iranian regime, not again the people, the regime engaging.
And it's unprecedented. This has not happened before. While Iran has vowed for decades that they will ultimately destroy Israel, this is the first time that there's been a direct act of aggression on the part of Iranian forces against Israel, and Israel having to respond to defend their sovereign territory. And the other thing that's changed in all of this, Jay, Iran, and I'm thinking about the last caller we had, is such a malevolent influence that even the Arab world is afraid of Iran.
Well,
and
I think that's significant.
Nothing has pushed nations like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and other countries, nothing has pushed them closer to Israel than the potential for evil and destruction from the nation of Iran.
Skip's still with us. So I want to, Skip, give me your sense of that, because I think it has changed this. Again, not focusing on the people, the citizens of Iran, but rather the government. And they're taking a very aggressive move here. And the rest of the Arab world is looking at it and looking at a common enemy now, which is what the Iranians have managed to do to themselves.
I think that's absolutely right. We have to keep in mind that the Persians is a large country. Iran is a huge country population-wise. And what they're trying to do is to expand their influence into the rest of the Middle East. The Arab kingdoms and the Arab countries there are afraid of this. First of all, there's a religious difference between Shia and Sunni. And beyond that, there's a political difference. The The Persians have always thought that they should be a world power, and now they're expanding themselves into Yemen, into Lebanon, into Syria. They've a great influence in Iraq because of the large Shia population there. And what they would like to do is to dominate the Middle East because they believe they deserve to dominate the Middle East because of their culture.
Interestingly, Abby Sutherland, ACLJ senior lawyer, is in court tomorrow on a case involving the previous administration, the Obama administration, granting funds to the political opponents of Benjamin Netanyahu. And actually, the political opponent ended up being Mahmoud Abbas's son, was the senior advisor to this group. So we've got a rolling production status hearing tomorrow. So we'll be there in federal court in Washington, D.C., tomorrow, some of our ACLJ lawyers. We'll take more calls and comments. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Let me make a statement here, though, that I think is important, and that is there has been a change both of the willingness of the Iranian regime to engage directly in this conflict, but there's also been a change of the way the people of Iran are responding. I don't know if we have the sound from the protests that took place in December. I'll get those in the next segment of the broadcast, when they were basically saying no to Hezbollah, no to Hamas. And then, Jordan, couple that with the fact that Hamas is in Gaza, cannot control the area, and you can't. It's a horrendous situation right now in Gaza, self-induced because the Muslim Brotherhood can't govern.
Yeah, I mean, one of the options if the Hamas government falls is that the people of Gaza will ask Israel to come in and restore order. Not in like a militaristic way, but in a way that, you know, you get police on the street, you get power turned on, you get food and resources in, you get some currency flowing. That could happen. I mean, we're probably a few steps away from that, but when the New York Times is reporting, and this is one of their pet issues, you know, they love the flotillas and things like that, notice that that's not happening anymore. And you know why? These governments aren't funding those flotillas anymore because they've had enough with Hamas. But when New York Times is running a headline that Gaza is about to explode, I think it goes one of two ways. It's either more radical or they're begging for Israel to come in, like what happens in the Palestinian Authority, and restore order and a sense of normalcy if they can overthrow the Hamas government. That would be a positive, I think, for Israel. It'd be tough for Israel to do, but a positive diplomatically and also internationally.
All right. We're back with our final segment of today. You can join us by giving us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Some phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. You can always get your comments online as well. But this is when we take as many calls as possible. We want to hear your voice again. That's at 1-800-684-3110.
There's a lot going on. This is a multidimensional issue when you're dealing with the Middle East. But there's a common enemy amongst the Israelis and most of the Arab world right now. And that's why you have this unique partnership, unique allies. And that is the threat from Iran. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've been talking about the Middle East. We've been talking about Iran. We've been talking about the engagement of Iran with Israel in the north, that is in the Golan Heights area. We've also talked about the fact that Hamas, Gaza, in complete disrepair. And normally, when this happens, they will engage in a military conflict. That doesn't appear to be so likely right now. I don't think they would have support in the Arab world for that. And then, frankly, I don't think they'd have support of their own people to engage in a military conflict, nor do they have the capability to engage in a conflict with Israel. And that's not just because of Israeli defenses, which have been significantly enhanced over the last 2 years, but also Egypt. El-Sisi has significantly curtailed the ability of these terrorist groups to engage on a military capacity. And I think that's bodes well for the region, although what's happening in Gaza right now is both a humanitarian disaster and also a political one for Hamas. And Hamas brought that on themselves. They cannot govern. That has been proven time and time again in this relationship between Hamas and Fatah, which is the Palestinian Liberation Organizations, and they were the initial developers of the Fatah party. That's why this coalition government is just that, a farce. I mean, there's no coalition government here. Mahmoud Abbas is in power because the Israelis have let him stay in power. And in Gaza, it's been a disaster. Remember, they threw Fatah members, Hamas did, off of buildings when they took over Gaza about 12 years ago. So that's the nature of that conflict. It's you got to understand the inter conflict that goes on within these political parties themselves. In this conflict. So it's very significant. All right, we're taking calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110.
We got some comments we'll take. We'll take a phone call first, then we'll go ahead and take some comments after that. Let's go to Celestin on line one in New York City. You're on the air.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Mr. J. How are you?
Good, sir.
All right, this is Celestin calling from New York. Actually, I had one of the caller talking about his father has been in the military, blah, 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 and talking about Iran has never attacked any country for decades of years. Who told him that? People should open their eyes and wake up. Iran is going on sponsoring a lot of secret terrorist jihadist group. Israel is their target now because they know that so many Israel is the number one place for the Christians to have pilgrimage. And once they're faced with Israel, the whole world is done. And right now, United Nations is not even saying anything. But when Donald Trump declared Jerusalem as the capital, but they had immediate call for an emergency meeting. So all these things, we all know what is going on. The world should wake up. Christians should wake up to support Israel. I am from Biafra. The same thing is going on in Africa, in Nigeria. They're trying to Islamize all the Biafras, all the Christians in the south and in the west. They're trying to Islamize them. There is a very secret Islamic jihad going on all over the world. Christians should wake up to support Israel. We as Biafrans, we stand for Israel. And we will always stand for Israel, because if the world is quiet for these people, these terrorists, to destroy Israel.
What we know, too, you brought up Nigeria, and I think it's important to note there's an article out today, a new report, and it's an unfortunate report, but over the last 3 years, 16,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria by various Islamic terror outlets like Boko Haram and others. 16,000. Not because the government of Nigeria has endorsed that, by the way, but because the government of Nigeria has not been able to successfully fight these militant groups. So over the past 3 years, 16,000 Christians killed because of their Christian faith, not because of other conflicts or issues in Nigeria, but specifically because they are Christians, were killed just in the last 3 years. And that report has made it to the desk of President Trump and has gone on to the United Nations. So there's a serious problem again in your home country as well.
Yeah. So, but Wes, we know that there has been this increase. I mean, there has been concern within the continent of Africa over the situation with militant Islam coming in. I mean, this is an ongoing problem, and it's not brand new, really.
No.
It's been going on for decades.
No, it's why we have special operators now, and they've been there actually for several years, but in the last year it's become public that we have U.S. forces there battling radical Islamic forces in the Horn of Africa.
Yeah.
And as is, you know, the modus operandi, the Islamists are intent on killing all Christians and anybody who doesn't embrace their branch of Islam.
Including other Muslims that don't embrace their branch of Islam.
And look at all the Christians who are being killed in Egypt as well.
Yeah. No, it's an ongoing.
By the same kind of group.
No. So, Skip, what's your assessment of where, so as we end up, which is 4 minutes left, we'll take some comments coming back, Logan, in a minute. But I wanted to get kind of your assessment of where you see it right now, Skip.
The situation right now, is, if we're talking about Africa, I think we do have a situation where as they are pushed out, as ISIS and other groups are pushed out of where they had their initial footholds, they're now moving into other places where there is weakness. It's a classic case of where there's a vacuum, they'll rush in to fill the vacuum. And some of these countries on the fringes, on the south of the Sahara Desert in Africa, are rife for having these Islamists come in because there was an Islamic influence anyway, and they're coming in, and these countries are dysfunctional countries in many ways, and therefore they're exploiting the weakness, and they're then taking over the indigenous people, and the governments are unable to drive them out. So this is another place where they get a foothold, they begin to expand their influence, and this is one of the things that why the United States and the Western world needs to get their act together, and we need to see the threat for what it is, and it will continue to spread to areas that are unstable, and that's exactly what it's doing in sub-Saharan Africa.
All right. Logan, you want to take some comments?
Yeah, Daniel asked, how will the UN respond to this?
So that's a good question. I mean, the United Nations response. So I don't think we have filed anything, or the Israelis have not filed anything officially as of yet with the Security Council.
Yeah, I'm sure the UN response would be de-escalation. I mean, that's what their response always is. The next step would be, again, if this aggression continues, you'd start seeing this more at the Security Council level. But we know that the U.S. government has said very clearly from the State Department, same department that would represent us at the UN, that we back Israel's right to defend its sovereign territory in this specific incident and then in the larger sense as well. So we know that diplomatically, the U.S. under the Trump administration is going to stand with Israel if this is an ongoing escalating issue, which, by the way, the mainstream media is starting to build this narrative. So it's from the New York Times to the Wall Street Journal, so kind of and everything else in between, that this is a real potential for escalation between Israel and Iran because of what Iran has been able to build up in Syria specifically, and the influence they now wield so directly in Syria with having their advisors and military team on the ground hand-in-hand with the Assad, the top Assad military leaders.
You know, what's interesting here, I think, is that there is a change. The UN is in a very difficult situation. Because when you have these unprovoked attacks by Iran, the sympathy for Iran is just not—it's just not there. And the reality is, when Iran is the bad actor, which they clearly are here, and they're engaging in Syria, which they clearly are as well here, and they're taking direct action to engage Israel, which is what they're doing, it takes the cloak of the proxy off and puts it exactly square on their direct engagement. What you have right now in the region is direct engagement by Iran. We should not be shocked. But we should be alarmed and concerned. And I think that the Israeli response, we heard that with Benjamin Netanyahu, is direct. I think there's probably unanimity among the Israeli political parties, including right, left, and center on this. They do not want Iran to be a proxy. And they do not want to be, if there's a direct conflict with Iran, they're going to engage it. But they know that the largest state sponsor of terror in the world is coming out of Iran. And there's not any real question about that. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, what does that mean for the United States? What does it mean for allies in the region? And what it means is there's heightened concern, which there has to be. But as the State Department said, Israel has the right to defend itself. It clearly will. Well, that's going to do it for our broadcast today. But there's a lot of ways for you to stay engaged with us during the rest of the day and during the week.
That's right. ACLJ.org is sort of the one stop to go to find everything. You can go directly to all of our social medias. Follow us on Twitter at JSecular, Jordan Secular, Logan Secular, ACLJ. Make sure you're also liking us and subscribing to us on Facebook. It's Jay Sekulow. And make sure you subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast and download the ACLJ app. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.